Hello, everyone. Here we are. We're back. Still only three of us again, but this time you'll be pleased to hear that Martin's been replaced by our old favourite Wonder Girl over there, Ilona. Hello.
Hello. It's nice to be back.
Good. Why have you been away for so long? Apart from, I mean, everyone knows that we did an episode of this a few weeks ago and absolutely buggered the whole thing up. And you were on that one.
I was on that one.
Yeah.
But I was very stressed on that one. So I'm quite glad that that all got buggered up.
Yeah.
So the whole thing. But yes, no. Yeah.
Nobody actually knows why you were stressed because we never put it out. But
no.
I will say she was sat there desperately trying to buy tickets for
Les Miserables,
the
tour that they're doing, in 40-year anniversary tour. And I did get tickets for
it. And you were supposed to get an email, weren't you, with a code, or, and it all just went horribly wrong,
didn't it?
What
I did end up doing was joining the Friends of Royal Albert Hall. That's what that extra money was. So now I get preview on, you know, you can get tickets for this before they go. So I'm a friend of the Royal Albert Hall now.
Actually, that might be quite useful. So if I see a band that's playing at the Royal Albert Hall,
give me a shout.
I'll give you a shout if you're able to get in there early. You can get them for me, maybe. I'm not mad at going to gigs at the Royal Albert Hall, but every now and again, there'll be a band that I think, I really wouldn't mind going to see that.
Well,
but I think, it's a bloody Royal Albert Hall. I'm only going to end up in the gods. So, yeah, I'll remember that.
Yeah.
So where have you been? What have you been
up
to?
I had my lovely trip to Paris when I went to the Chanel fashion show with my friend.
Yeah, I forgot all about that.
It was absolutely fantastic. Really a brilliant experience. Absolutely fantastic. I went to the embroidery workshop for Chanel and saw behind the scenes of all of that. And that was probably my favourite bit because I do love a bit of crafts and stuff like that. And then the show itself was amazing.
Was it full of just the most ridiculous outfits? Or Chanel
there was quite
classy?
A few. There was a mixture. There was like the total extreme and then the very classy. And I saw a few celebs. My friend isn't a celeb spotter, which is really inconvenient because I really am. So
Does that mean she's not interested or she has no idea who anyone is?
Bit of both, really.
Yeah.
Yeah, just...
She sounds much... Is she classier than you?
I think you might need to not say that because it's just different. People are different.
Right, I see.
Yeah. And... You cannot have a look. And so
Stuart's not said anything yet. I think he's building up.
Just staggered by the whole comment, really.
No. it was very good. The show, the whole thing. And then afterwards, they do a big cocktail party and everything for the people that have gone to the show. And I saw...
Decent buffet?
Oh, unbelievable.
Really?
Yes. It's not just your average
Stuart
buffet.
Stuart quite likes those sort of deep-fried mozzarella sticks. Did they have that on it?
No.
Oh, no.
Unless it's
good.
Called caviar.
Was it all seriously poncy?
Yeah, it really
was.
It's
not coming from Iceland.
No, it really wasn't. It was absolutely...
Chanel was oozing class.
Yeah, so I'm standing chatting to the president of Chanel USA and she's greeting me like we did a Pilates class last week. Little does she know that I'm in everything borrowed. I mean, there's Jackie's.
But if you meet somebody like that, do you think they're interested in you or do you think... They suddenly think, well, this person's not very important. So therefore...
No, they were very nice, actually.
Right, yeah.
They were very nice.
I remember going to, years ago, when they had the Rugby World Cup in Wales, and our mate Dan, he had a couple of hospitality tickets that he was getting rid of. And I don't know why you didn't come. You must have not been available. Yes. Anyway, because he said to me, oh, I've got these tickets, join it. And I went with a mate of mine. And I was sat at this table... with only really important people. I mean, really, really important people. And the guy was sitting next to me said, oh, yeah, well, what do you do then? I said, well, I'm a catering manager. And I said, oh, what do you do? He said, oh, I work for Reuters. I said, oh, right, okay. It's like a publishing thing, you know. And I said, what do you do for them? Are you like a journalist? He said, no, I'm the managing director. And everyone was important. And the guy who was the host of our particular small marquee, there was only four tables in it, I think, so about 32 people, was Will Carling, the former England captain, and his wife. And they were far more interested in talking to me and my mate than any of these other people, because we were actually there as rugby fans and not just as important people.
Well, I did.
And maybe you come as a pleasant surprise to somebody who's not, because you're not vacuous.
Yeah,
I mean, we've had
sure
emails saying you are, but you're not.
I mean, obviously, history says differently.
Actually, no, really. But that was quite funny, because we sat down, and you go to your place and your name is on your seat and everything. And my friend was sitting in the front row and I'm sitting behind her. And a lady sat down next to me and she was really friendly, really chatty. And then I said, oh, so what do you do? Or something like that. And she said, well, I'm the fashion creator, director for Neiman Marcus and Saks for the States. And I was like, oh, holy cow, that's
never
pretty
heard
huge.
Of them, but anyway.
Saks Fifth Avenue, mate.
Yeah, Saks Fifth Avenue and Neiman Marcus. I mean, it's just beautiful department stores. And then she said, and what do you do? And I said, oh, I mostly help women after they've had a baby with their breastfeeding. and then I started, working maternity. And she just looked at me and went, okay. And then she just turned to the person on her right. And I was like, oh, well. But then she did chat to me a bit more afterwards when the lights went down. And she was like, oh, this is very exciting.
You were going to say that, there was a bit of a, thing for women, and she was really proud that she was sat chatting to somebody who does something like that. But apparently she wasn't interested, was she?
No, she'd been to every fashion show that week in Paris. I mean, it was pandemonium with the amount of traffic and the car and all these black cars that come up, and then people are shouting across the road to watching all the celebs arrive and everything. And then to be part of that, it was very cool.
It's
was
quite
a great
cool
experience.
At times. Yeah, I mean, I was sort of fairly similar the other week when I went to Cannes for the television festival, but there are certain people in there, they just come with that gravitas and people just will flock to them. So you see that, the head of Fox News or the head of Fox TV or the head of Warner Brothers walks in and people just gravitate, they just move around. And I was sitting in this cafe having a meeting with bloke who may possibly be my agent, and the head of Disney sat next to him. Now, I actually was meant to have met the bloke from Disney, because he used to work with the girl I write with, and I was going to get up and say, oh, hi, Ryan, I'm Stuart, we were meant to have met last year, and this sort of stuff. And I genuinely didn't get the chance, because every move he took, there was another three or four people flocking in, trying to get just a section of his time.
Yeah.
And I think it must be really, really frustrating, and really to actually have to live like that. It must be really, I mean, some people love it, but I have to say, the whole sort of people loving in Canada, I have to say, I hate every minute of it.
Yeah, some of it got a bit, but most of the time I was just loving the experience of it. And I've just been for a couple of days again.
So
the Fashion Week was, well, this trip was always planned, and then the Fashion Week came in.
What was this, a booze cruise to Boulogne?
So my friend's over with work again, because she comes over here to work quite a lot, and she loves Paris. She absolutely loves Paris. So she said to me, jump on the Eurostar, which so I did. And we were staying in a very lovely hotel, and we were walking out.
Begin with an R by any chance?
Begin with an R. And I've got another pillowcase. I keep collecting the pillowcases because they've got my initials. I'm sure they wouldn't mind.
Oh, do you think if you didn't take it, I mean, they'd just wait for somebody else who's
IW.
Somebody
else stolen it.
There aren't many IWs. There aren't many names beginning with IW.
No, that's right. So I'm doing him a favour, really.
Yeah, I think
anyway,
so.
We came out.
And there was all the theft in the Louvre, wasn't there? So you were stealing pillowcases.
Ian Watkins,
not quite on the same thing.
But of course, he's dead now.
Clearly dead. Yeah. And he'll get a different kind of pillow.
Yeah.
But this last trip, I walked out of the Ritz Hotel and this guy was walking towards me. And we were waiting to get into the car, what have you. My friend was just standing there. And as he walked towards me, I just went, Josh, hi, Josh, how are you? And he looked at me and was just like, I'm fine, looking up and down.
Well.
And then, because if you know, Josh Flagg he's on Million Dollar Listing, Beverly Hills. So it's a show I watch. And and he's really good in it. But I
greeted
him.
Is that a bit like Grand Designs or something?
No, it's like an estate agent show.
It's an estate agent show.
Oh, I see.
Real estate. These
is he like
clients.
A presenter or an estate agent?
He's an estate agent.
Oh, I see.
Like a reality show.
It's a reality show. Well, that's why I asked him.
He probably probably looked at you and asked the same of you as well, didn't he?
But I greeted him like I'd known him all my life. So he was obviously thinking, have I sold a house or are you buying a house? And then I said to my friend, come and meet. This is Josh. He's on, and I nearly died. Selling Sunset. I got the wrong...
You got the wrong show.
I got the wrong show.
No. Yeah. Oh, lovely.
And then, did he pull you up? He must have pulled you up.
No, he didn't say anything. And then I still can I have a picture? And he said, yeah, of course. And so we had our photo taken. And then he was very nice. And I still enjoy your stay. And he said, yes, you too. But what I couldn't get over was his face didn't move. It was absolutely... It didn't move.
Really?
It didn't move. But I do love him on the show, so I was quite excited about
that. Did he give you the look of, I'll take the photo, but I think you are slightly unhinged?
Yes.
Yes, he did. That's good. That's exactly what we love about you.
Yeah, that's exactly what he did.
Fabulous.
Yeah. And I was thrilled, apart from getting the wrong blooming show. But
when did you realise you had the wrong show?
When I got in the car afterwards, I was like, oh, no, he's not in Selling Sunset. But my friend was like, oh, you've met one of your friends. That's really nice. I'm like, no, I've never met him before in my life. But I felt like I did because I know him so well from the telly. So anyway, that was my moment. And then we had lunch yesterday and I was chatting to my friend. She's there. She works for a fertility. She's a fertility specialist. She's a doctor. And
right.
Then there's a lot of people coming. They're going off to some surrogacy conference in Brussels. And that's why they were over. And one of the guys came. He does a podcast. And I was chatting to him. And we were talking about Real Housewives. And I'd said about... And he said... He listed out all these Real Housewives that he knows. And there's a guy...
You said that with such excitement
in
your voice.
I know, but it was. Because there's Hannah, the girls will know. There's a guy, Andy Cohen. He does, like, Watch What Happens Live. And he's the executive producer for a lot of the Real Housewives. And this guy, Julio, that I met... is his friend. So
Julio.
I could...
Julio.
I was able to ask all about... We sat there and just chatted about it and it was fantastic.
So did you get an invite to his podcast?
I did.
When are we going?
I'm really scared that he's actually going to...
If he does a podcast, I think... technically, we're not the best, are we?
I think a lot of podcasts...
And when you see people on the telly, they do it from Zoom or they use something and they do it from home.
Yeah.
And you need a proper professional setup.
Yeah,
and
he's
like
got
that.
All of that.
Whenever we've tried to do a Zoom podcast, you've never been able to get the microphone to work, have you?
No, exactly. And his podcast is with his husband is called IVF Daddies or something because they do a lot of that.
Sounds
that
great.
World.
I must look for it.
So, but he was very good. So I
get
had a lovely
on.
Trip.
Get us on.
Yeah.
We'd rock it.
Okay.
We'd be fabulous.
So, yeah, that and I came back last night and I had the boys home for a week from uni on their reading week when it was my birthday. So I've had a nice time.
I did something very similar, actually. I went to Keswick over the weekend with my two brothers-in-law and our mate. And I should just say, this is how old we're getting. So we thought we've got it all well planned. We won't go out eating all the time because that gets a bit boring and it's expensive. So one of my brothers-in-law said, what we'll do is, he said, we use this company where you can buy... big frozen meals, not like not
Iceland.
No, like a high quality one. So you'll get something for four, and it's like 22 quid. He said we'll get three of those, and then you can cook it. So he sends us a link on this email, and it's got all these things in it. So we choose beef bourguignon, very nice. Yeah, lamb tagine and Thai green curry. So we think, okay, that's fine. That'd be all right. So we get up there, and before we got there a bit early, so we couldn't get into the Airbnb. So we thought we'll go to the supermarket, and they've got a Booths up there in Keswick. For those who don't know Booths, it's like Waitrose of the North. They're northern, really nice. So we went in there, and I thought, right, well, I'll get all the bits and pieces that we need for these meals. So I got jasmine rice to go with the Thai curry, got ordinary rice to go with the it was bulgur wheat or something to go with the tagine, and then a load of potatoes to do some really nice buttery mash to go with the beef bourguignon. Perfect. Get back, he empties his bag, he's picked up three chili con carnes.
Oh no.
So we've got 16 portions of chili con carne. So basically we had a lot of chili con carne for the weekend. So it's not quite as classy as you over in Paris and staying in the Ritz.
Having a Japanese breakfast.
It was fairly typical. And we were saying, well, how have you managed to do that? How on earth have you got three chili con carne? He's still not quite sure this day, to be honest. But anyway, there we are. So any celebrity snuffed it, Stuart?
Only the one, I fear.
Oh. Is he famous or she?
He was relatively famous a few years ago. I don't think most people would remember him too clearly. So much so that I can't actually remember his name.
It's
Richard,
I'll take over. It's
Richard
Derbyshire,
wasn't it? Because he had a county name.
Richard Derbyshire.
And he was the singer. Yeah. He was the singer of Living in the Box.
Yeah,
who were famous in the '80s and early '90s.
Yeah. Do you remember Living in the Box?
I do.
And they're living in a box.
I'm living in a cardboard box.
Yeah. And now it's a bit. Kind of is, really.
He's in a different kind of box.
Yeah. I know, which is very sad.
Did he have any other hits?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Blow the House Down. We have got the power to build the highest tower. Do you remember that?
No.
Standing with our feet on the ground.
I do remember it, but that, I don't need any more. Thank you.
And what was this other one?
It was a slow one, wasn't it? The classic two upbeats.
Yeah, two upbeats and then a slowy.
Room in Your Heart.
You're going to sing that?
No.
No.
I don't really feel
that. I can't remember that
the
one
listeners
anyway.
Would really
so
the listeners
aren't going to get any of that.
Get
but
it
very
on Spotify.
Sad.
Quite a nice song, Room in Your Heart.
Yeah.
But yeah, so he died and I can't really think of anybody else.
No, only 65 as well.
Yeah, that's really young.
That's
sad,
very young.
It's sad. It's too young.
Yes.
Yeah, so that's pretty sad. Anyway, so on the, I was reading as I do. I had a bit of a read of the local rag, you know, the Metro on the way down, as I usually do. And had a good look through Rush Hour Crush.
Mm.
Not very good. Nothing particularly good this time. But I was reading about, there's a lot of stuff at the moment about this BBC doctoring of the Trump, the Trump video. And the fact that he has now decided that he wants to sue the BBC for... When he says $1 billion, he just plays like it's like bloody that bloke out of Austin Powers.
So
isn't
I'm
it?
Going to go for
$1 billion.
No, he says £1 million. Yeah. $1 million, and there's he's got $1 million. That's not very much money.
Yeah. So he said he's gonna sue the BBC for $1 billion. Now I've seen on the TV loads of legal experts that saying, well, he can't. He hasn't actually got a case. One, because he's in Florida. Two, they're over here. It was over a year since it's not going to happen. You can't do it. But I noticed a letter in the paper here which said that, and it doesn't necessarily surprise me that this is the sort of thing. So somebody has said Donald Trump talks of suing the BBC for $1 billion over the Panorama fiasco, in which the speech was edited. Blah 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 blah. Then he says the White House press secretary Caroline Leavitt. Oh, she's just horrific, isn't she? Got to watch what I say, because she might be a listener.
She might be a listener.
She might be a listener. Caroline Leavitt, who presumably speaks for the president, claims the BBC is, and in inverted commas, 100% fake news and a leftist propaganda machine.
Oh, my goodness.
He says, I would argue that unless she can prove these claims to be accurate, the BBC should be given leave to sue her or both her and her boss for uttering such an unfounded remark. If it's shown to be without substance or credibility, I believe damages of about $1 billion should be sufficient. I mean, it's ridiculous, isn't it, that she should say it's 100% fake news and a leftist propaganda machine he's talking about suing them for doing what he did.
The amazing thing about it is, of course, is that this bloke is suing people left, right and centre. And he has been successful suing a couple of the news organisations. And he sued ABC, didn't he? I think NBC? And he got several million out of the pair of them for faking things. But the fact that this bloke is trying to do it when so many things he said are just a complete
lie.
He's going out of fashion, like him and Boris Johnson just choose to lie like it's going out of fashion. And it's just... But it's the way they've created this fake news.
Yeah.
And it just encompasses
everything.
Everything. Okay. It's fake news. Yeah.
100% fake news.
It's fake news. It's just basically...
The BBC.
And that's like basically... Or any of our wives or husbands saying, I think you're having an affair. And we just now go, it's fake news. It's fake news. Someone's got it in for us.
Yeah.
We haven't got this thing. And basically, you're never allowed to talk about it again. Yeah. End of subject.
Mm.
And that's the whole...
Yeah, I mean, I'm not a legal expert. You might have noticed I'm not a legal expert. But I wonder, if he did decide to sue... I mean, not that there's a case anyway, apparently.
No, I don't think there is.
But
no.
You can't say... I think if he did decide to sue, and it was possible we were in the same country, he did it on time, and they've already basically admitted that they edited that video... I don't think as a defence you can say, yeah, but you lie all the time, can you? Because that's circumstantial evidence brought in from unadmissible evidence, probably.
He'll be looking for a settlement.
Yeah, he will. I think they should tell him to fuck off.
Well, I would really like that Keir Starmer, because he won't, or other people, and to actually stand up and say, you can go fuck yourself.
Yeah.
And actually, yes, we will take you on.
Yeah.
Take us to court and we'll actually take you on, because then we can bring a load of things out about you.
Yeah.
Because, of course, it was 4 years after the actual event of the January the 6th riots, and there's still plenty of other things. Now, in my mind, the BBC have acted appallingly here.
Yeah, it was just ridiculous.
You have to be a better standard.
There's ammunition to get him anyway.
But you have to be, if you are the BBC, and that's what they dine out on, they are of a higher standard. Yeah. And that's what America needs, is something like a BBC where they will hold people to account. And they've completely shot themselves in the foot, and obviously...
I think they've machine-gunned themselves in the foot. Hopeless. Because they can now bring up anything about him that he's lied, and Caroline Levitt can turn around and say, yeah, but the BBC lied. It's all fake news.
They
even admitted themselves that they doctored his video.
History. So
anything they do, she can now turn around and say, well, that's obviously...
That's
they're one of the very few corporations in the world that people trust.
Yes.
And now they've done that.
So it's awful. It's so bad. And it'll take a lot to recover from that.
I mean, it's interesting that the two people who had to stand down was the Director General and the head of news, and I wonder if they knew, or whether, because usually it's always the person at the top has to go, doesn't it? I mean, you'd
that
like
seems
to
crazy.
Think,
how could he possibly like
to,
know?
I don't.
Yeah, but you have to go.
I can understand why she goes.
But it's just corporate life. Isn't
surely
it?
They've got to try and find out who actually did that.
Well, this appears to be a bit of a coup going on within the BBC, doesn't there, about what's actually going on. I mean, the bloke is the chairman. I mean, talk about the most uncharismatic man in history.
Yeah.
And you need strong leadership and someone to actually stand up and say, well, actually, take us to court and we'll fight it, because this is ridiculous.
And, of course, the bonkers thing about it is you've got people like Farage and all that coming and saying, the BBC, it's always been left-wing bias. Well, that bloke who's just stood down, he is basically a lifelong Tory, isn't he? He's come through that whole party and everything. It's just ridiculous.
But I mean, again, it just goes into the stuff that came out last night about another batch of stuff released about the Epstein files.
Yeah.
And there's obviously some fairly damning
things.
So
they've now just turned around and said that's all fake.
It's all fake.
They?
It's just all fake. It's a left wing propaganda. Yeah. It's all fake.
Yeah.
And some of it quite clearly isn't. Even if there's a load of stuff that's in there that isn't relevant, if there's one or two emails that are. I mean, much as, you know, obviously Epstein's horrific, he can't send them from beyond the grave.
No.
Obviously, they were sent at the time, so you'd have to act that they're fairly generous. But it's democratic left-wing propaganda. And then end of subject, move on, nothing to see here.
Yeah. Speaking of end of subject and moving on, it's time for a break.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah, it is time for a break. So while we're on the break, we're going to be Googling at companies who want to advertise with us.
I thought you were going to say Josh Flagg.
No, actually, I might Google him anyway.
We've got a picture of Alona and Josh Flagg, one of them looking slightly more scared than the other one.
Maybe we can put that on as the you know, we have a picture every week.
That's because his face doesn't move.
We have a picture for the programme every week,
don't we?
Maybe we'll try and persuade Alona in the break if we can use that this week. And we'll see you in a bit.
We're back for the second part of Homer Potts Happy Hour. Hope you've enjoyed your break. We certainly did. And we're back on another fairly gruesome subject. following on from the subject of obviously Trump, Mr. Epstein, and a certain man now known as Andrew Mountbatten, whatever his name is.
Mountbatten Windsor
with a hyphen. Another fairly average week for him. But anyway. And
selling all his business interests.
Absolutely.
I'm entirely sure what those businesses were.
That he suddenly managed to pay his money
Actually, could you look him up on the government website if he's
taken off it now,
business?
I think he's been taken off, I think.
Right.
But anyway, you've been reading a book,
haven't you? Yeah, I read this book. I can't remember the name of the bloody book now, but it was by Mark Helen, who was a very famous famous journalist. He used to do the old grey whistle tests with
David Hepburn.
David Hepworth.
Hepworth, that's right.
David Hepworth was the guy. Mark Helen, he introduced the first... Or was it David Hepworth? One of them introduced the first band at Live Aid. I can't remember which one it was. I think it might have been David Hepworth. But when Bob Harris and Ann Nightingale stopped doing the old Grover Stuff, he did. Anyway, I've read this book. It's all about the various rock stars he's met over the years. And he was saying how he you know, he was in music journalism at just the right time when they were selling, like, you know, 500,000 copies of the NME and Sounds and everything every week. And we were just thinking how, if they decided, you know, if a bit of like the Epstein files, if they had the 70s rock stars files, it would be a total and utter disaster. I think they'd have to build new prisons, wouldn't they?
I think they would.
Yeah. I mean, he was saying how he interviewed Jimmy Page and Roy Harper in the 80s, and they were probably, he reckons Jimmy Page was in like his mid late 40s, Roy Harper probably in his mid 50s, and they were towing these two girls along with them who were quite clearly under 16.
I think it's well under 16.
Yeah, he said it was appalling.
Yeah,
and he makes it quite have clear you seen in his book
the,
that it's appalling.
Have you seen
and
the it must Led have been Zeppelin true. Documentary?
No, I haven't.
And there's
no.
also the one on Aerosmith.
Right.
That basically just go into just exactly that. And it's not like you're close to 16. These girls are like
12, 13, 14 years old.
And it is as grim as you
but
like.
But it's interesting that nobody brings it up. And obviously it was absolutely true because he put it in print. And if it wasn't, he could have been sued left, right and centre. But
I think it's quite funny that obviously everyone's gone looked at the entertainment stuff with the BBC back in the day. They've gone into the film and stuff with Hollywood with the Me Too, but no one's really gone anywhere near music.
No,
because I think if you uncover music, you really are opening a very, very bad Pandora's box. I mean, there's stuff, isn't there, about, you know, like David Bowie and like all the stuff about some of this sort of stuff. It's just, I think it is quite gruesome.
Who was the worst, do you think, that's going to be uncovered? That hasn't been.
Well, I don't know if there is. I don't think you have to do a lot of uncovering, do you? I mean, Bill Wyman, he married Mandy Smith when she was 18. And we all know she was 18 because you would have signed the register and everything. Yeah. And
she'd been going out for three or four years.
Quite a while, isn't it, at that point?
And you think, I'm pretty bad at maths, but I can work out that.
Yeah.
That's horrible.
Yeah. And you can only really, I mean, even on our fairly small time podcast, we can only talk about the ones we know rather than saying, I reckon that so-and-so was definitely doing it, because you can get sued doing that, can't you, I suppose?
But, yeah, no, I think that's, I mean, that was kind of, when that's, people started mentioning that, it was almost kind of the time when Bill Wyman probably retired a bit, didn't he? He's like, actually, I'll leave the Stones, I'll go into fairly quiet retirement.
I mean, those two words together, marrying somebody who's 18 that you've been going out with for 4 years and retiring at the same time.
Yeah.
Just he's does suggest a bit of an age gap, doesn't it?
That's terrible, really.
Yeah, shocking. And I just wanted to sort of have a quick mention about the music industry at the moment, because yet another thing I was reading in the Metro on the way, quite good for sort of things like this, the Metro, and they were talking about how a couple of rock stars, including, who's that boy from Newcastle, Sam Fender and somebody else, they're trying to bring the government to task a little bit at the moment, because one of the government's manifesto pledges, I don't think it was a big pledge, it was on their manifesto anyway, was to do something about the ticketing scandal.
I think they've got slightly bigger problems than some of the manifesto pledges.
I think that's
at the
probably
moment.
The problem that we've
rather
got.
Rather than the ticket prices.
That's probably the last thing on their mind at the moment. But one of their manifesto things was to do something about this ticketing
and
reselling.
So they
thing.
Should.
Yeah. And I don't know how they, but they had a, a consultation, which apparently they finished 7 months ago. I haven't published it, haven't done anything about it. And what these rock stars are saying is, you've got to do something. You said that on these resale sites like Viagogo and so on, there's got to be a maximum. I mean, I think it would be quite nice if they could do something a bit more than that, but I don't know how you control these bots, which is the problem. You've got bots actually buying these tickets. But they were sort of coming out with some of the prices that tickets have been going for, and they were saying how bog standard tickets for Oasis, like these ones that should have been 175 quid or whatever, were going for 3,500 to 4,500 quid. But get this, there's a festival called All Points East. I've got a feeling that might be held at Finsbury Park, but I might be wrong, but I think it is. And Ray is headlining it. You know Ray?
She's brilliant.
Yeah, she is very good, isn't she?
Stingray?
No, not Stingray. No, that's very good as well, isn't it, Stingray? But anyway, sorry, we're getting off the point. But Ray is headlining it, and there were tickets being advertised for that overpriced. One of them was for £114,000. you were thinking, who could possibly be? One, how does this ever be? How is it allowed to happen? And two, who on earth is going to spend 114,000 quid on a ticket?
Someone will, but for 114,000 quid, I'd expect to get up on stage with them. I'd expect to actually be doing duets.
Yeah, you would. You would want to be involved, wouldn't you?
Yes.
So here's Stuart, and he's bought his guitar, luckily. Simo grinning at the side of his, at the side of the stage. Yeah, Ray.
I think this one's in a G now.
Yeah, so, but I think the whole thing's written. Even, I mean, I'm going to a gig tonight, actually. I'm going to Wembley Arena to see a band called Volbeat. Have you heard of them?
No.
I'll play you a
bit. I thought you were going to say something else there when you said
No, Volbeat, I'm going to see. They're Danish rock band. And
they've managed to fill Wembley Arena.
Yeah. They're really good. They're very popular. And
I have to take his word for it.
And they are, they're one of the few bands I spend any sort of money for it, because most of the bands I see, the tickets cost bugger all. So I think this ticket was 68 quid plus all the ridiculous on costs or whatever. But but just recently I've noticed more and more artists, and even ones that aren't absolutely massive, they don't just say anymore, all right, tickets are now on sale, or even tickets are going on sale 10 a.m. on Friday. It's O2 pre-sale will be on Wednesday at 10 a.m. Live Nation pre-sale will be on Thursday at 10 a.m. And then the actual sale will be on Friday at 10 a.m. And so you've got all of these people going completely bananas for 3 days trying to get tickets. And then you get everybody else worrying, because people say, well, I was trying to get it on the O2 pre-sale, and they've all gone. And then everyone thinks they've all gone. And then everyone has to explain, it doesn't work like that. They only have a certain bunch of them.
Well, that's what happened with
me. It's so stressed, like you, wasn't it?
When I was getting those Les Mis tickets, because then I had the pre-sale, but I didn't have the code, and I was panicked, and I bought two ridiculously expensive, thinking that's going to be it. And then when they came out on the day, a couple of days later, there was a load of tickets. Yeah. I was like, but one thing I've noticed is, especially like something like that, where there's maybe an older crowd, how are these tickets going? So how are these old people trying to work out the queuing?
Because their kids or grandchildren.
Get to some of these places and you think, how did you manage to get in the queue? But, you know, and I mean, I'm not amazing on a computer, but some of the things I go to where there's a lot of older people, I think, how did they manage to do it? But
hard to beat the bots. I mean, we've got a friend, we won't mention his name, but he seems to be able to get a ticket for anything, doesn't
he's
he?
Just
we know we're talking. He can get a ticket, it seems, for anything. So if anything's happening, he always manages to get a ticket. I don't know. I don't think he's got software which makes him jump the queue.
No, he's just I think he's badges just around it, and
But somehow
he's so
he gets
good
them,
at
doesn't
it.
He?
And he was when we were kids.
But he doesn't always get them at face value, does he?
Oh, pretty close.
I think mostly he does.
I mean,
he
got Oasis at face value.
But I remember when I was getting Coldplay tickets, my brother and I were both in the kitchen at exactly the same time. We both logged on exactly the same time. I went to like 7,000 in the queue and he was like 56,000. We were like right next to each other. It made no sense.
Well, I think when we did it for Oasis, didn't we? I think we combined. Oh, we had about 10 or 15 people trying to get tickets. Yeah. And all got virtually ends of nowhere.
Yeah.
It's a sad state of affairs. I've missed out on Wimbledon tickets again for next year.
Oh, have they already said?
Yeah, and no, if you haven't heard by now, you've not gotten through
the ballot.
Yeah.
It comes
out by mid-late October. My brother-in-law, I don't know, he always manages to get tickets as well. He's got
tickets.
Would you go down the Viagogo route then? If you haven't got them initially, would you look and see how much they are?
I mean, we've got
probably
a better chance at Jane's a member of the LTA or something because of a tennis club membership. So she's got a much higher chance of getting the ticket, and that will come later in the day. For the public ballot, it's just, it's all done.
I have got all my tickets for the Ashes. I might actually possibly be buggering off in a week or so to go to the Ashes.
Yeah.
I've got all my tickets for the Ashes via Viagogo.
Did you?
And I have to say, they're not horrifically expensive.
Well, that's
what
happened with me with Oasis.
And
I've got mine off there.
And they've come in when they should do.
Was it not possible just... I mean, were the grounds sold out?
They were sold out very, very quickly.
Because they're massive grounds, aren't they?
But there's so much hype of it. And, of course, you're then dealing with Australian ticket agencies. So, no, I didn't get any initially. And then I just went on Viagogo a few months ago and just got tickets for the first 2 days of every game
right.
that I'm there for.
Is that what you're doing? You're doing the first 2 days.
And then after that, you think, will the game go that long?
Yeah.
These are going to go 3 or 4 days. But, you know, it's like over there, you can just go and get a general admissions.
For that. I mean, if you're in the city and it goes to a fifth day and there's like 90 runs or 3 wickets needed, you know you'll be able to get in for those.
Yeah, but even probably day three you'll get in because, like I said, the grounds are huge.
If it's really hot, I mean, it's just... I find sitting in hot weather at cricket exhausting. Do you? Especially because the... Unless you've got particularly lovely seats, but your bog standard seats, you've got no leg room, have you? They're quite hard.
Surrounded by Australians.
Surrounded by. And people, generally people who are middle aged and need a piss every hour. And you're in a row that's about 100 people long and you're constantly up and down for people.
Your knees.
Yeah, yeah, probably. Yeah. People going for a wee out, beer in, wee out. It just happens the whole time. And then at the end of the day, you think, I'm just knackered. Absolutely knackered. All I've done is sat here.
What's England doing? Just me agreeably shit again.
Yeah, I know.
But anyway, that's come. But yeah, so I did get
So they're hoping. I don't know whether, as you said, the government have got better things to talk about at the moment, but they need to do something about it. And you can't help thinking something like that surely must be so simple. There must be. I always think with government, there are so many easy wins you could do that would be popular, and yet you just seem to concentrate on one thing, and it all blows up, and that's what everyone seems to be interested in. You think just do a few things that are real things. I mean, not like gimmicks, but something that's really popular. And you say, we've done it. We've now said that, you know, these resale sites can only charge 20% extra on top of face value, and that's it. And if you don't do it, you'll get shut down. And just do it, you know.
They probably get
accused of stifling business or something. That's the trouble. Go on.
I'm just talking about gimmicks.
Did you say, can I just say something? As if you have to ask permission these days.
I remember, otherwise it will go out of my head. Talking about gimmicks. What about Ricky Gervais's signs in the tube?
Love them.
I haven't seen them.
Love them.
Oh, he's done all these things about slagging off London and why would you come? And they've been so good, haven't they?
It's so funny. He just takes the piss out of himself so much. He's like, what is it, Dutch Barn Vogue? Vodka, isn't it?
Yeah.
And you know, so you know, basic about who's making all the money. Basically says, and yes, the money's all going to me.
Yeah, they're just really
and
good.
It's just a picture of him on a lounger looking and this way, yes, it's going to me.
They're very funny.
Is that the way he said, have you got your stab vest?
Yes.
Yes.
Did he?
Yeah. There's been so many good ones.
Yeah.
That's probably in the answer to loads of trolls and bots out there. I think they're probably Russian ones who are basically trying to stir up trouble. Like, if you go to London, you're definitely going to get stabbed. I mean, I live in London. I've never been worried about getting stabbed, if I'm honest.
Yeah.
But they like it. It just stirs discontent, and that's why it's done.
Social media.
So he's probably just trolling that, isn't he? Mm. We were going to sort of mention something else, weren't we? I can't remember what it was.
TV.
I know what it was. What have you been watching, Stuart?
Normally,
we might have gone to a break at that point, but, you know, but as we're on a bit of a roll. Stuart, what have you been watching?
I have watched a couple of things. The first thing I finished a couple of days ago, I watched the new 4-part documentary on Richard Branson.
Oh, is it any good?
It's all right. It's one of those programmes that...
It doesn't appeal to me.
It's 4 episodes. You could certainly get it into 2.
Is he almost... Do you get the feeling... I always think with Richard Branson that... It's almost like his time has gone.
Yes.
You know, and back in the 80s to the 2000s, he was like one of the world's richest men and he had all these really funky businesses. And now he's not one. Well, he's still very rich, but there's a lot of much richer people than him.
Yeah, and the last couple of episodes are about all the stuff about, you know, Virgin Galactic and going into space.
Yeah.
And after a while, you're thinking, oh, I'm not really.
He gave up with that, didn't he?
And I did get there eventually. But again, it's just like it's like him... Musk and the bloke from Amazon, Jeff Bezos, you know, 3 billionaires.
Yeah.
Who's going to get there first? Who cares?
Yeah,
and this sort of stuff. And it's like, I really enjoyed the first two, and it's about the rise of Virgin, then Virgin Records.
Did they mention the Mike Oldfield tubular bells?
Yeah, all that sort of stuff.
That's how he got his main.
Yes.
Did you know that?
I didn't know that.
Yeah, because Mike Oldfield brought out Tubular Bells, and that was the very first record on his label. And it sold like 20 million copies or something.
But when you think about the 80s,
obviously made him loads of money.
In the 80s, he had nearly all, so many of the world's biggest bands on his, in the sort of 80s and 90s. Yeah. So that was quite interesting. And then, of course, yeah, the, all the sort of dirty tricks from BA launching his thing. So that was quite interesting up till then. But you realise, I mean, he's an extraordinary bloke.
Yeah.
He is an extraordinary bloke. My one about Richard Branson, when we were at college and I was a girl, I was sort of half seeing at the time. We were going to see Simple Minds at Wembley Arena.
Half seeing.
Well, yeah, that's
he was seeing her, but she wasn't all about seeing him.
I quite fancied her, but she wasn't as usual, just wanted to go to the concert. And we were going on the train, and then basically heard us talking about Simple Minds. So this bloke sticks her head round the corner and mentions, you know, Simple Minds, you're going to see them at Wembley. Yes, we are. And I thought he was a college lecturer. And she was like, it's Richard Branson, you idiot.
Oh, really?
I'm like, oh, shit.
You weren't really with it then, though, were you, Stuart?
So I was saying, oh, yeah, you look, I think this bloke looks familiar. But, oh, actually.
Were they on the Virgin label?
They were on Virgin, right, yeah. In their heyday.
Yeah.
In their heyday. So I watched that. And then the other thing I watched, which I will genuinely admit I thought was...
What channel was that on?
It's on Sky Atlantic.
Oh, right.
So okay. It was an HBO thing, so it's Sky Atlantic. And then I watched a thing called Lazarus, which was one of the latest Harbin Corbin sort of murder mysteries. And I have to say, I thought it was shit.
Was it?
Yeah. And it's one of those things I've managed to scroll through for 6 episodes, not really caring who did it. But I thought, oh, I might as well see who's done it.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, I thought it was crap. I thought his last one was poor, that one with Michelle Keegan. And this one's
I've noticed that there's a new series of The Night Manager coming out.
There is.
Now, I didn't watch it first time round, so I've just been on a train journey, and I thought, well, I'll download off the iPlayer.
Be good.
And I've seen the first three. Oh, it's really good, isn't
Very
it?
Very good.
Yeah.
I don't know if I've seen it.
Oh, it's great. You would have been Tom in Hiddleston. America at the time.
Oh.
Yeah, Tom Hiddleston's and in it. It's Hugh really
Grant.
Good.
Hugh Grant's foul, yeah. Isn't it?
Oh, he's horrible, isn't he? He's no, just not foul. Hugh Grant, Hugh Laurie.
Hugh Laurie, you're not.
Hugh Laurie.
Oh,
Hugh Laurie.
Oh,
Hugh Laurie.
Tom Holland.
Oh, he's horrible. Tom Holland. He's even worse. Tom Hollander, not Tom Holland.
Right.
But
he's revolting,
it.
Isn't he?
And brilliant. AJ would like it as well.
Yes, he would. Yeah, it's brilliant.
Yeah, and there's a new one coming out. And I hadn't realised that time's gone so quickly. It was like about 8 or 9 years ago when that came out.
Yeah.
Annoyingly, Hiddleston still looks exactly the same. Yes. So well, they could just say it a few months later.
High cheekbones.
Yeah.
Can I tell you what I've been watching?
Tell us. Tell us.
I watched it.
Hang on. Yeah, okay.
I watched it with the boys when they were back, and it was pretty horrific. It was the last instalment of the Monster series, and it's the Ed Gein story.
Was he a cannibal?
No, he didn't eat them.
He was the one who was... What's oh bloody hell? What's,
Charlie Hammond.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
So what he did sort of... There's certain films were off the back of what he did, like Psycho and then Silence of the Lambs, because he would he liked digging up dead bodies and doing weird things to them. He had sex with dead bodies. Oh, yeah. And then he also skinned people and he made lampshades, and he was just an absolute just awful.
Quite creative though, I think. But, to make lampshades out of dead people's skin.
It's pretty gruesome. It was fascinating, but very sad. So
when did all this take place?
When did it all take place?
Was the Texas Chainsaw Massacre sort of
1950s.
Based around him as well.
Yes, I think so.
Yes, it was.
They
featured that. So there, that's what I was watching.
Lovely.
And Riot Women, so complete extremes.
I didn't like Riot Women very much. I have to be honest.
I liked
it. I saw a couple of them.
It's just easy watching.
I didn't really like
it. I think
it
you need to
much.
Be a woman of a certain age in a certain menopausal. I think it just related think so? To a
yeah,
lot of things.
Yeah, I wouldn't say that, but is that what you think?
I thought.
Right,
it was
yeah.
Good.
I think Jane watched a lot. I watched the first couple, and then she said, and I was going out, and she said, well, I might watch the last ones. And I thought, oh, well, I'm not bothered if I see the rest of it or not. I wasn't overly keen.
Well, thanks.
So there you go. Did they manage?
Told
to,
me.
Did they manage to play a gig in the end?
No, I'm not telling you. You're uninterested.
I am interested, but I just didn't want to watch it. They did play a gig.
Yeah, they did. I enjoyed that. It's a bit lighter after my gruesome story.
Don't watch it, Stuart. There's a scene in the very first one, or it might be the second one, where a woman scorned gets on top of some bloke's Aston Martin and starts smashing it up.
Wow. Yeah.
Spraying, you know, wanker on the side of it.
That's
I mean, it
not
wasn't
acceptable
very deep.
Behavior.
It was just a bit of light. It was something light to watch. after my gruesome one. And then my friend told me today about The Feud. The Feud to watch on Netflix. And, of course, there's a new season of Selling Sunset.
Right.
Obviously, yeah, I won't be watching that.
So I've got to watch that.
Yeah.
And I've got, because I've been away for a few days, I've got lots of reunion shows for Real Housewives to catch up on.
Did you watch the Victoria Beckham docs?
I did. I found it a bit, I wasn't that interested.
Boring,
I wanted it to be more about their family life than that, not about her career and what she's, you know, but
did
it was
you
all
think
right.
She made herself
across,
come across as a bit nice. Is that all a bit manufactured? Is she
well,
really
I
that nice?
I preferred when they did the documentary, the two of them. I thought she came across quite well on that. So, yeah, I don't loathe her. But it looks like there might be a bit of reconciliation, apparently, with the eldest. He said if they publicly apologise or did I dream...
Oh, can you imagine?
Did I dream that?
Malcolm, if you publicly apologise to Stuart,
yeah,
he might come round for Sunday lunch again.
Because, I mean, he got his knighthood, didn't he? And then the eldest wasn't there.
Did
I
you
mean,
see
that's
the photos?
So sad.
His youngest son, I don't know whether it was Cruz or Romeo.
Well, Cruz is the youngest.
He's what a lanky. I mean, he's so tall.
Yeah.
He must be about 6'5", I think.
Nothing wrong with that.
Mm. Yeah, but when everyone else is, I mean, everyone else is like the same sort of height. He does look like the other brothers. So I think he is from the same parents, but he's so tall.
Yeah.
Who is the youngest one?
Cruz.
Well,
Harper, the daughter, is the youngest.
There you go. I suppose because you were away, you didn't see Graham Norton, did you, on Friday?
I didn't.
No, it was quite interesting because they had Ed Sheeran on doing his song.
All right.
And he sat down and they had Michelle Yeoh on there and a few other.
Oh, of course, because, I mean, Wicked.
So Wicked's coming out, yeah.
I can't
so she
wait.
Was on there. And Graham Norton did his usual thing. He said, oh, have you met everybody here? And Ed Sheeran said, yeah. He said, I've met Michelle because... He said, I bumped into her at the Met Gala.
Huh.
And Graham Norton said, he went to the Met Gala, which made my ears pricked up and I thought of you because you're quite... And he said, yeah, he said, it's amazing. He said, you walk around, you think, Christ, everyone's famous. And Graham Norton said, oh, did you love it? He said, well, that's all right. I won't bother going again. And I thought, good on you, mate.
Well, that's funny because
that just
guy
wasn't
I met,
really that interested.
The guy
in
I met in Paris, the one I was saying about Julio, he's been to the Met Gala a few times. He said two or three times. He said, now, he said, I could take it or leave it.
Yeah.
And I was like...
Good lad. How did you get into the Met Gala? Do you have to be famous yourself?
I don't know.
It's hugely expensive.
I'm surprised
tickets.
You haven't explored the
situation.
No, because
it's
situation.
Just so out.
Why don't you get your mate to go and...
I could dress you
I
up.
I might drop it into conversation.
Yeah.
See why don't you get her to take you? It's a hugely expensive ticket price, but obviously companies take tables, don't they? And then they invite the celebs, because I can't imagine any of the real big celebs are going to pay for it.
No. No, I have to look into that.
Because they don't pay
keep
for
you posted.
Anything.
I will, yeah. Okay, we're going to go for another break. We're going to come back. We've got a quick quiz this week. Nothing too much. She's already.
I can't believe you're looking.
She's already
at me
giving me dirty looks over there.
You deserve them.
I'll see if I can find something that won't turn you off too much.
I'm just waiting for you to say what you're going to say, and I'm anticipating
it.
I've got
gone.
A quiz coming.
Go on,
and
go on,
then
tell him to fuck off.
Like
I hope this one over there is able to.
Go on, tell him to fuck off. Go on,
go on, tell me.
Go on, tell him to fuck off.
No, because I'm too nice.
Okay. I was hoping you were going to say fuck off and then I was going to immediately hit the thing. So that sounded,
ready,
like,
get it
sounded like you were telling our listeners
ready.
To do
no,
it.
I'm not
so.
Gonna
come do it.
No.
It'll be rude.
No, we're going.
I'll do it for you. Fuck
see
off.
You in a bit. And we're back. So we're going to do a bit of a quiz. Now, I was at a gig the other day. I went to see Bobby Dazzle and her band. Brilliant. And they were supported by a band called Silver Roller. And it's like being at a gig in 1974. It's basically Bobby Dazzle is like is sort of glam rock. Silver Roller, it's like watching Bad Company, bands like that, which made me remember that I did a gig quite a few episodes ago, might have been 6-8 months ago, about 60s bands. And I named three songs from 60s bands and you had to guess and you gave me daggers on a couple of occasions there. So I thought, okay, we're going to, but it was
daggers.
Popular. So we're going to do a similar one, but these are all 70s.
You really slacked him off behind his back.
Did
yeah,
you
did. These are all
70s.
So
like.
so like, we really, this is the bloke, fucking honestly, the bloke.
These tend to be quite popular for the listeners. So these are all 70s bands now. So get your pens and papers ready. I am going to name three songs, from a band, you have to name the band.
It's
okay,
one of the Mud.
I've tried to not mention, just put Mud for all of
Mud
them. I'm going to try not to mention their biggest hits, although with one or two of them,
maybe you should.
One or two of them, I was actually struggling for anything other than their biggest hit. So there you go. It's supposed to be a bit of fun, isn't it? So are we all ready? Are you two ready? You ready, Loney? You got your bit of paper ready and all that sort of game?
Don't you worry about me.
Okay, I'm not. Okay, so
got your Google on?
I've got Google on.
Got your Google on? I got 20. Fuck you.
Okay.
I was going to do Shazam and then you said you were going to say them. That's all bollocks.
No, I'm not playing any music. No, we didn't go that far.
I can't even type Shazam, let alone get it up.
No. So, first band, are you ready? Okay, three songs. Take Me Back Home, My Friend Stan, Because I Love You. At least two number ones there.
I love you.
Number two. This one's easy. Wigwam Bam, Love Is Like Oxygen, Ballroom Blitz.
It's.
Number three. You ready, Loney?
You just carry on.
Well, I can see you staring down. I don't know whether you're with us or not.
Okay,
you can put it on the table if you like so we can see what you're doing.
I know I can. I don't want to. It's more comfortable this way. Number three, before I leave.
Number three, 48 Crash, Can the Can, Devil Gate Drive. Number five.
In an exam, that would be classed as blatant cheating.
Number five.
I can't read your writing.
And it's upside down.
It's
and you're
too upside down.
Number five. This one's an easy one.
Oh, hang on. What was four?
What about number four?
Hang on a minute. Number four. Jesus. Dynamite.
Oh.
The Cat Crept In.
Crept Out Again.
Lonely This Christmas.
Did the cat creep out again?
Yeah. Number five, Shang-a-Lang, Give a Little Love, Keep on Dancing.
Just sing it. Just sing one of them.
Shang-a-Lang. Shang-a-Lang.
Oh, my sister would be proud of me.
Shang-a-Lang.
It goes quite high there.
Okay. Number six, Down by the Lazy River, Let Me In, Love Me for a Reason.
Love Me for a Reason. That one.
Yeah.
Let the reason be love. That was Boyzone.
It was.
For West Side.
Yeah. Do you get one of your obligatory half points?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm just putting a half down because
she'll probably put the wrong one anyway. She'll put Boyzone. Okay. The next one. One for Stuart here.
I've got a half there.
Lion Eyes, Desperado, Take It to the Limit.
Greatest bands of all
Desperado,
time.
Desperado, why don't you come to your senses?
See, I know there's some music. I just don't know what they're called. Hang on, let me just Google.
Okay, here's the next one. Daydreamer, How Can I Be Sure? Could It Be Forever? I think they get easier as they go on, if I'm honest.
Okay, that was number nine.
How can you be sure?
In a world.
Oh.
Okay.
Okay.
Next one. This one is so easy you wouldn't.
Oh, don't say it.
No.
You just don't need to say it.
Okay. See My Baby Jive. Are You Ready to Rock? I Wish It Could Be Christmas Every Day.
I thought we had them already.
No. Okay, this one is a bit of a link to the last one, so that's a clue. Living Thing, Evil Woman, Telephone Line.
Oh, ho, telephone line. Give me some time.
Okay.
I love the way he rhymes line with time.
The next one, Ride a White Swan, Jeepster, Metal Guru. Now, the next one, only one of these was actually in the 70s. The others were in the 80s, but they were a band
who
were
being 70s. So it should be even easier to get.
Yeah. Ready? If you leave me now, hard to say I'm sorry, you're the inspiration.
I've got it now.
No, it doesn't. Actually, it just occurs to me. No, it doesn't actually make any difference whether you cheat or not. Does it? I don't know why we're worried about it.
No.
Okay, you ready for the next one?
I'm going to concentrate now.
Right, the next one. Shining Star, Boogie Wonderland, Fantasy.
Now you should get this loan, because there is the latest craze on Instagram, isn't there, about the dance?
That dance, yeah.
Dance, which is everywhere now.
Yeah, it's the same dance moves, isn't it?
Yeah. So that, and everyone's doing it.
Yeah. Okay. Only two more to go. Right. The next one is You Wear It Well. I Don't Want to Talk About It. You're in My Heart.
Oh, I know that.
Good one.
Don't ask me, my dad, about him. My
actually,
gosh.
To be honest, I think You Wear It Well was by his band. But it doesn't matter. Same singer.
My uncle went to school with him.
Yeah, really? What, with Gilbert O'Sullivan?
Oh, that was very good. That was really...
I'm feisty, I'm tired.
And
I'm
the bit, last one is...
You're in Paris. Paris.
And the last one, jet lag. She came on the train.
Still time zone.
Chain lag.
Yeah, it's true. Right, the last one is Piano Man. Just the Way You Are, The Longest Time.
Yeah, I mean, Longest Time and all that sort of, that was very mid-80s.
Yeah, I know, yeah.
But we did. Have you seen the documentary about said person?
I did.
Brilliant.
It was very good, very, actually. Very good.
Have you seen it?
I haven't,
it's called So It Goes, two-part documentary on Sky Atlantic-y or Sky Documentary.
I mean, he's incredibly... talented,
God,
isn't he?
He's so talented. Yeah.
Scarily.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's obviously family.
So I know I've got two of these.
Okay, you ready? So,
and the ones I copied off you.
The first one, Take Me Back Home, My Friend Stan, Because I Love You.
Slade.
Very good.
Well done.
You're so good at reading.
Wigwam Bam. Wigwam Bam, Ballroom Blitz, Love Is Like Oxygen.
It's
sweet.
Very good, Lonely. Well done.
Yeah.
Now it could get a bit ugly.
I can't remember which order I did
she
these
wasn't
in.
Ugly.
48 Crash, Devilgate Drive, Can the Can.
Susie Quattro.
No idea.
Susie Quattro.
Oh. She's still alive.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh.
Yeah.
She's still wearing leather trousers.
Do you think they'll bury her in her
leather looks,
trousers?
She looks really good. She still
Does
plays
she?
And everything. Yeah. She's doing really well. Yeah. Huh. Right. Cat Crept In, Dynamite, Lonely This Christmas.
We mentioned them before.
Well, we said to put the name down for everyone.
Yeah, no, I didn't get that.
Oh, we could have got one.
That was Mud.
Mm-hmm.
Shang-a-Lang, Give a Little Love, Keep on Dancing.
Bay City Rollers.
Yay.
My sister was obsessed with
I didn't put their most
Bay
famous
City
one.
Rollers.
I thought that would just give it away.
Give it away.
I? Yeah. I didn't put this lot's most famous one either. Mm. Down by the Lazy River, Love Me for a Reason, Let Me In.
I've just got half
How
a
about
point.
If I'd have said Crazy Horses?
Crazy horses.
What are they called?
The what?
They're
Mormons.
The Osmonds.
Correct, lady. Well they done.
Did
sneaked
yes.
in the last minute.
I've got a half a point, but only because of the love me for a reason. But Boy, crazy you, horses. Yeah. That was...
Okay.
Can you not have done that? Hey, why didn't you do that
because
one?
Because that was too obvious.
Well, to him...
Yeah, but how about all the listeners? Right, Lion Eyes, Desperado, Take It to the Limit.
Eagles.
The Eagles, well
Very
done.
Good.
Bit of a trickier one here, although I bet Stuart's got it. Daydreamer, How Can I Be Sure? Could It Be Forever?
Walking
no idea.
Eh?
Daydreamer.
Yeah. Do you know who it was?
David Cassidy.
David Cassidy.
Oh, another one of my sister's dreams.
See My Baby Drive, Jive, Are You Ready to Rock? I Wish It Could Be Christmas Every Day.
Oh, Wizard.
Yeah.
I got that only on that last one.
I know. I couldn't think of another hit of theirs, to be honest. Then how about then Living Thing, Evil Woman, Telephone Line?
No.
ELO. Because he was in ELO originally.
Yeah, he was.
Roy Wood. One of the original members of ELO. Both from Birmingham.
They left The Move, formed ELO, and then Roy Wood thought, this isn't working, and he went from Wizard. Oh. And Jeff Lynne stayed doing ELO.
Gosh, they did both slightly well, better than
me, really. Yeah.
Jeff Lynne's very terribly ill, apparently.
He is, yeah.
Terribly ill.
Because he was meant to play his last ever gig and he had to cancel it, didn't he? Yeah. Rider White, Swan, Jeepster, Metal Guru.
I cheated.
Did you?
Mm-hmm.
In what way?
I looked at Stuart.
Well, what is the answer?
T-Rex.
Yeah. Yeah.
I won't give myself a point for that.
I would think it's harder if you say Metal Guru rather than Metal Guru. Metal Guru.
Guru.
Now, I think I'm on a roll now. The next
if you
four.
Leave me now, hard to say I'm sorry, you're the inspiration.
Chicago.
Chicago. Well done.
I feel like you should have a go now.
No, it's all about you.
Boogie Wonderland's Shining Star and Fantasy.
I actually knew this, Earth, well Wind and Fire.
Yeah, what a great band. They are, I think, one of the bands that I regret never seeing. I know they're still going of a sort. I think there's only one or two originals in it. They would have been amazing, I reckon, live. Okay, then, where are we? Yeah, right, You Wear It Well. I don't want to talk about it. You're in My Heart.
Rod Stewart.
Rod Stewart. I think You Wear It Well was actually The Faces, I think.
Oh, no, he did do it on his own, though. He might have done a cover.
Anyway. And finally, I think we all know this because we've talked about it soon, Piano Man, Just the Way You Are, The Longest Time.
Billy Joel.
Billy Joel. There you go. There you go. That's all of them. Add them up. I think Stuart's going to be quite annoying, aren't you?
Have you got all?
Oh, I just want to say.
You got.
Did you get the
every
lot?
Every single one. He did as well.
Yeah, I know.
Snap.
Did you? Brilliant. Well done.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah. The ones you didn't know, you just copied his. So that was good.
Yeah.
That's how we got
through
school.
Are you counting the Osmonds then as a point?
Half.
Well, it's not Snap then, is it, surely?
I was just pretending.
Associated glory.
I think I got 8.5.
There you go. So what we'll do, we'll do another one of those in a few. Excellent. We don't go any further than the 80s, though. Okay? Possibly the 90s. Definitely nothing in this century.
But why not?
Well, because I don't know it.
Well, there you go.
Well, you can do it.
I'll do it then.
Okay. Listeners, she won't.
I definitely will now.
And now the answer to the next one. Is Steps.
Yeah. Just Club Steps 7 for all of them.
S Club 7, Steps.
The Atomic Kitten.
Oh. Now, there's a thing.
No, I'm not. No, there was a documentary about.
There's a documentary on girl bands.
Yes, I did watch that.
Have you seen all three episodes?
I haven't seen that one yet.
No. I'm two of the three through. And it gets a bit samey.
Boy Bands Forever one was brilliant.
Yeah, they've obviously not a girl band.
It gets really samey. It does get a bit samey. Kerry Katona and that I was watching about. She was a hot mess, wasn't she?
She's a total mess. Mm. Yeah, she's just. Oh, yeah, she's she's not playing with the full deck, I don't know.
No.
But some of it's quite.
Yeah,
it's quite interesting. Mm. It's just brutal, isn't it?
Yeah. Anyway, so we'll have an 80s one next, then a 90s one, and then somebody else can take
over.
Or
maybe
that.
The one that's not music.
It's hard to do that thing that's not music. But the last one we did like that was about 4 or 5 months ago, so there was quite a gap.
Okay.
Well, I can name three characters, and you have to say which housewives of are
there
they
you
in.
Are. You could give us
a load of like ones of various reality shows.
Yeah, but then you wouldn't know any of them.
We'd have to just guess.
I do watch other stuff. It's not all my world. I mean,
it's a lot of.
I enjoy it, but there's more to me than that.
What percentage of your world is it?
Where are we at with the time?
We're going to go. Yeah, we've got an hour and 3 minutes. There's more to her than that, and she's going to spend the next hour telling us. So we're going to go now, and we shall be back in a couple of weeks' time.
We will be. Yep. Ciao, ciao.
Bye.
Yeah, see ya.
Pott's Happy Hour was recorded in the United Kingdom and is fully owned by Stewhead Publishing Limited, whose owner is an absolute bellend.